This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Was there an intentionality to the trenches and getting bigger with this draft?
We're always looking at, you know, when we go through, you know, self-assessment and going through the season, and Mike and I talking, looking at the team with the coaches, and when you get to it, at the end of the day, you know, we wanted to get better at offensive line. We knew we had some older players, you know, with T-Stead and Kendall Lamb, you know, Isaiah Wynn moving on. And so we talked about adding youth, and it just so happens that these guys are bigger players that are physical, tough kids that love football. And we haven't shied away from looking for those types of players, but they fit the bill at the offensive line spot. So we're excited to add those guys to the group.
Dolphins general manager Chris Greer there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, so we go to Omar Kelly, Mr. Intentionality there. Well, I'll tell you what, that was an impressive way to kind of start and get Chris Rohn on intentionality. I haven't heard you use that one a lot. I know you. Is that a mic word? Intentionality?
Tonality is a mic word.
Okay.
There were themes that were brought up throughout the draft that were very clear and apparent in terms of what they wanted to do, what they wanted to achieve. They wanted to get bigger.
Yeah, they did.
And they wanted to create a tonality of basically, we're not soft anymore. We're not this finesse team anymore. And it doesn't really surprise me, because when you look at Mike McDaniel's DNA of who he is as a coach, you know, you're part of that Shanahan tree. You believe in the running. You believe in the outside zone. Hell, you probably believe in cut blocking, even though it's kind of frowned upon. And he kind of fell in love with Tua and the passing game and speed. But, you know, in this draft, they went out and they got a big, big physical bruising back in Ollie Gordon. They went out, they added three nose tackles, not one, not two, but three. And that's, you know, three guys who have played nose tackle. Now, they might not all end up being nose tackles, but that's the roles that they've played in their college careers. And you ended up with one of the 10 elite or premier day one starting rookie offensive linemen. So from my standpoint, it was very clear what they were doing. They were trying to get bigger, stronger, and tougher.
I love the first two picks. By the way, the first the two largest first and second round picks in the history of the franchise, those guys, what they were able to do with one and two.
So, really?
Yeah. So
hold on. Wait a minute. Jake Long and who was after Jake? Who's
Jake Long? Jake Long never weighed 340.
Okay.
And neither did Richmond Webb. So I'll help you do the homework so you don't have to look.
Okay. look at Joe bringing it.
Hey, and by the way, I love the first two picks. They were need. And I'm glad they got the guard. I know they showed all the highlights of him basically playing tackle, but hey, that's a big, wide body, St. Louis high school dude again. It's good. Let's do
four.
It.
He's played all four positions. He's played everything but center. I was not particularly extremely high on him, but I didn't comb through all of his film. For all of those people who said Tyler Booker wouldn't fit their scheme, I make the argument to you, Savanaya is kind of a similar player to Tyler Booker, except he's fast. A lot of the things that you're going to ask him to do, you're projecting that he can do it. But But he was, and without a doubt, one of the elite 10 offensive linemen in this draft. And I hate the fact that they had to move up to go get him, but you know, if you've got a goal, go out there and do it. And I said and wrote in the Miami Herald, if they don't walk away with a player better than Liam Eichenberg, Chris Greer should fire him. I mean, Steve Ross should fire them all.
Yeah. No. So I like that. I don't have a problem with that. The only problem I had, look, I'm not one to sit here because I have no idea how good all these guys are going to be. And you brought up the three defensive linemen, 320 and up, and all big guys. And it should, as they develop, we should be really good, at least against the run. And we'll see what we get as pass rushers. But the biggest thing for me is the drought of three and four before you get to fifth round. And you don't touch the cornerback position until Jason Marshall Jr. So obviously,
yeah,
we need to go out. Who's the leader of the veterans that you think that we will end up bringing in?
They've been in contact with a lot of them. Rasul Douglas is out there. They've been in contact with him. Asante Samuels is a hometown kid. He's got some shoulder issues. So the one thing that Chris Greer made very clear and apparent was that, and this was in day one, hey, we feel comfortable with what we can do with the cornerback in free agency. We're not really worried about that or stressing about that in this draft. He flat out said, we're going to pick a guy in the later rounds. And Mike's history, you know, our history, history of Kansas City, you can make something happen with a later round cornerback. You don't have to, like I tell you all the time, Joe, I could go to Publix and find a cornerback around here.
Well, it's better than the parks. At least you're out of Dade County parks right now, so that's a good start.
I'm just telling you, Joe, it's your park really where they're all at. They're running that hill.
No, they are. Oh, my God, this weekend, the kids, they were all motivated. That draft must have had them all motivated. That thing was full of young athletes, boy, going up and down the hill. So I disagree with that. I let you go on that thing that this cornerback thing's not that easy. And let's talk about the Jalen Ramsey thing. I heard so much stuff about the Jalen Ramsey thing this weekend. That he's a pain in the ass he wanted out. He looked at this roster and it said it's not very good.
No.
And he said some stuff. And so others have reported all this stuff. What's your take on he's not coming back. That's done. But go ahead.
No. I'm still trying to get to what the truth is and not what everybody's truth is, but what everybody's story is. And I'm missing one person. The fact that Mike McDaniel avoided the question, which has, I don't know if it's ever been done in my 3 years, kind of lets me know that, I'm not talking about Jalen Ramsey because there are consequences to talking about Jalen Ramsey, which is true. So that lets me know that the issue is between Jalen and Mike. And I don't know, and it's a mutual parting of ways. So this is a mutual divorce. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know what they're going to get back for him, but I'm pretty confident that he's not going to be here. Yeah. And Mike needs people that buy in, step up and be leaders, step up and be present in the facility.
Yeah. You're on to that. You're on to a lot of good stuff right there with this whole thing with him. Yeah. Become such a pain in the ass. It's got to be part of it. And then all of a sudden you say something to head coach and he's got to be a head coach and go enough's enough. Chris, we got to move him. I know we gave him the money. It's going to be a bad look for us. Gave him this extension.
Yeah.
But he's just going to destroy this team by himself. Like, let's go.
I don't know if that's fair to say, but I can understand that viewpoint. I mean, if it were me, Jalen Ramsey in last year, there were probably about four players that held the team together. Jalen Ramsey was one of them. He probably didn't do it all the ways that you want him to do it, but he did it. Is he a late guy? I'm not going to speak to that. Is he a guy who believes in the culture of the organization? I'm not going to speak to that.
No, there's a lot of different parts. And Omar, I get it. I get it. Can we get anything for him? Or is this just basically just take a five or a six and let's walk?
Ooh, I think you could do better than a 5 or 6. I'm thinking a 4 is, you paid a 3, you can get a 4. Or it might be somebody's veteran that they're ready to move on.
Yeah, well, it could
from.
Be. Hey, listen, that's a good one. It could be. Are you worried, by the way? I know you make this cornerback cover corner thing sound easy. None of those veterans, I looked at every one of them. I actually spent way too much time looking at them last night, their injuries, how they played.
Yep.
There's a reason they're all out there right now.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
So how do we – so Chris made it sound like we got all these guys, these frontline guys, just kind of waiting to see where they can go. And I'm like,
no, there
ain't no frontline. We're talking about injury. No. We're talking about some big-name guys that have done it in the past. But, that's a tough call.
You know, the Packers also have a cornerback. I'm trying to remember his name.
They would love to move him.
Jair Alexander.
Alexander, that's right.
And every team has a Jair Alexander. So you're probably either going to take a 4th-round pick, because I think that's what you can get for Jalen Ramsey, or get somebody's Jair Alexander, redo his contract. Somebody put it out there, and I don't think this is possible. I really don't, especially the way they've done business. But George Kittle still doesn't have his contract with the 49ers. That blows my mind. That really still blows my mind. I felt like he would either be traded by the draft or he'd get his new deal. That hasn't been done. I saw a video of Mike flirting with George Kittle after the Dolphins beat him, telling him, you know, Miami's a great place to live, you know, speaking in code. My thing is, they're out of doing business like that. They really are out of doing business like that in terms of trading for guys and then giving them the highest paid contract at their position. It seems like they're out of business doing that type of business. But the 49ers would be a great fit for Jalen Ramsey. And if you could somehow swing a Jalen Ramsey, George Kittle trade and everybody rework the contracts and you trade, you know, that's a dream scenario. I don't think that's possible. I think it's more than likely you're going to be trading them for like a backup defensive tackle in Atlanta. But how does this play out? I could tell you I'm very convicted that Jalen Ramsey controls more than people think in this scenario.
He could. So I want to ask you, how do you like the offensive line on paper right now with the rookie coming in, James Daniel coming back from Achilles, and then Aaron Brewer at center, and then Patrick Paul is definitely the left tackle, and Austin Jackson's a right tackle. How do you like it?
I did a breakdown. I'm doing breakdowns of the Miami Dolphins offense and the Miami Dolphins defense after the draft, because this is, you know, we've done our shopping spree. This is our team right now, pretty much, and it's up on the Miami Herald, or will be this morning. And when I looked at that offensive line, Joe, I was not happy.
All right. Are you more concerned with the backups? Are you worried about? Do with 7 and 8, 6, 7, and 8.
I'm concerned with the backups. Right now, Liam Eikenberg is your best backup. You know how that plays out. He's going to start 6, 7 games right now.
I agree. You and I are on the same page on that one. They think more of Liam Eikenberg than the fan base and the media, yes.
And Patrick Paul, we don't know. We just don't know. So right now, you're taking a downgrade at left tackle. James Daniels coming off an injury. He's probably going to be moved to left guard. You don't know how that's going to play out. You got a rookie who hasn't played in this type of scheme at right guard. And then Austin Jackson, by the time the season opens, he's going to be 10 months coming off a meniscus injury. That's a lot of hopefullys, maybes, possibles. Where are the absolute books in this? If we're playing a hand of spades, where are the books here? And then the backups just aren't good. Liam Eikenberg, Keon Smith, Broom, who was rated one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL. I would feel a lot more confident and comfortable if Isaiah Wynn was added. And
he pretty much closed that door.
No. Perk asked him. We followed up on that, and he basically said, no, the door has not been closed. But it doesn't seem likely. But we followed up, and the door hasn't been closed. He said the door has not been closed on Isaiah Wynn.
What do you think of the draft overall for the Dolphins with 3 5s and a 6 and 2 7s? I was at an event last night. Everybody's pretty pumped up about the big running back, Ollie Gordon.
Yeah, the big running back is a nice piece. I gave the draft a B- overall from this standpoint. Even though the meat and potatoes of this draft was in rounds 2, 3, and 4, I found it a little odd that they traded out of where the meat and potatoes was of this draft. But I understand that they did it for, one of the top 10 guards, top 10 offensive linemen, which I said was you need to walk out of this draft with one of these guys. And they did that. It cost them, but they did that. And then they also picked up a 2026 third round pick, which is a very valuable asset. Would I have done that in the situation that they're in, where they're desperate and they need to win and they need players? I wouldn't have done it, but I can understand why that was the right thing for the franchise. And I'm proud of them for doing it, yeah. But it doesn't help them now.
All right, so the other question is, we've all talked about we need to get more than two starters out of this draft. We got mm-hmm. 1 and 2 to start. Who else got a chance in that group to be, if not a starter, but play a lot of snaps?
I definitely feel, when I did my look at it, I think you got about five candidates to start. And I know people will be like, five? I didn't say they would be good starters. Ollie Gordon, I'm sorry, but that guy was a Doak Walker winner. Those guys don't fall
off. They love Ollie Gordon. They are pretty pumped about being able to get, and they're hoping to get that guy from the year before that was so good.
Yeah, and Dante Trader Jr., there's something about him when we talk to him. There's a charisma there. This organization, going back to the Chris Clemens days and Rashad Jones days, they're not scared to invest in young, rookie, inexperienced safeties if they have the right core to them. Jason Marshall, this is a five-star recruit from South Florida, so you know the environment is not going to be too big for him. He did not exactly live up to potential at Florida, but athleticism, he's got ability. I can't tell you that Cam Smith's better than him. So, you know, if his job is to beat out Cam Smith, I don't know how hard that's going to be. I'm a big fan of the two early nose tackles that they drafted. Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips was literally the first person in this draft class that somebody that I trust recommended to me that would be a good fit for the Dolphins. This was back in January. I initially mocked it just because I don't want nobody on this team named Jordan Phillips. I got bad history with him, with that name. But he is the opposite player of Jordan Phillips in terms of the hard worker. This guy.
Now you're taking shots at our former second round pick who hadn't been here forever. The guy that played hard one play and took a play off. I can't believe it.
Listen, take one playoff. he took practice off, days off. He played one play good and two plays bad, but he got the last laugh. He's a 10-year veteran.
You know what? Somehow you were able to taunt that guy, and he knew he couldn't put a hand on you.
I don't know if he didn't think he could put a hand on me.
I was there when he's pretty fired up, and he just knew, and he's got everybody looking at him, and I'm not saying
he had an amazing practice. He must have had like 3 sacks. That was the day multiple coaches came up to me and thanked me for his practice today. And they were like, man, you really got him fired up.
So now you're motivating players. Well, let's hope we don't need to motivate these guys they've got coming in, all these defensive tackles. We're going to spread them out, though. We're going to spread them out. They can play over tackles, a little bit inside of tackles, and get the big guys there. Hey, thank you, Omar. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, joining us this morning a little bit to talk about a lot of different things in the old draft. And he's another one. I guess cornerbacks are everywhere, man. You guys out there listening right now, if you have eligibility and you're ready, just call, whether it's a park or a hanging out down here, just down here on vacation. Corners are everywhere. Cover corners are everywhere. No problem. Hey, yeah, we got to go to break, but it is time to tell you about something that's very, very important that we believe in, that's been a big part of our community, Atlantic Men's boy, are they just do work. I can't say enough about Atlantic Men's Clinic and the work they're doing to help us men turn back the clock, really. Turn back the clock. I didn't want to go into my 60s and just be as tired as I was. I'm full-blown low T and ED. It was just brutal to go through. Just terrible. Just the worst. And didn't know what to do, man. Didn't know what to do. I knew something was wrong, though. Sex drive gone. Low T, literally tired all the time and getting a little moody and snappy, not sleeping well. It was everything. Just terrible. Gaining weight because I was still eating even though I wasn't staying active. And that just led to a lot of problems. And I finally went to Atlantic Men's Clinic, and I had such great results. It's been a year now. It works quickly. They put me on a program for me, not just one that's for every man out there. We're all different. Hey, this low T and ED hits a different point. Sometimes a guy's in their late 30s, early 40s to 50s to 60s, but sooner or later it's going to happen to every guy out there. So don't try to tell me if you're my age right now, I've never had ED or low T. Yeah, yes, you have. It's a lie. You're lying. I don't care, though. I just want to help people, man, because my experience was so great with Atlantic Men's Clinic, and I know with six locations in South Florida, you go in there, you set up that first appointment, you get your T, your PSA test, you talk to their professionals who are trained to help get rid of ED and low T. That's what we do. It's a safe way. It's policed, and you get great results, and that's bottom line. Call 877-455-7300, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. But if you're serious about this, you got to set up the first appointment, the most important to get you really great results and start feeling great again.